If your plans this summer, including spending time at Lake Patcong, you unfortunately had to resort to Plan B, thanks to at one point all of the lake's beaches being closed due to the high level of algae bloom. While some counted by saying that New Jersey's standards for a matter like this is significantly more strict than other states, still brought to the forefront how one of our natural jewels in New Jersey is left at risk due to, well, first and foremost, a lack of proper funding, which results in a lack of proper maintenance programs. My next guest is one of three state senators who this past week took a tour of Lake Patcong, spoke with local officials. He is the state senator for New Jersey's 24th District, Senator Steve Orho. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Orho.SenateNJ.com. You can communicate your thoughts and ideas and read what is on his radar screen as well. We, of course, have a link over to our page for that. Talk about the magnitude. What's been the impact of everything that we've watched Lake Patcong go through? I mean, economically, it obviously kept people away, and the danger with that, I'm sure many businesses probably are thinking this too, well, if they went away this year, we have to work extra hard to make sure they come back next year.
Absolutely. Chris, there's no doubt about it. And the unfortunate thing from this year is, you know, the cyanobacteria, and there's two different ones. There's the cyanobacteria and the cyanotoxins. The toxins, after you did all the research and all this and you found out, I mean, when it first came out, you know, we sent out a press release encouraging people to pay attention to the DEP's, you know, announcement. And quite frankly, it went way too far, because as we come to find out now, Lake Patcong doesn't have any of the toxins. Listen, the bacteria you got to be extremely careful of and whatnot, but it almost ceased all activity on the lake. And so, you know, quite unfortunately, a number of the businesses around are severely affected. And so we had many, I mean, we were on the lake yesterday with Senate President Sweeney. And we really appreciate Senator Sweeney coming up here, because obviously he has a lot of influence on, you know, legislation, as well as being able to put, you know, making sure that the administration puts the right focus on this. And right from the very beginning, the advisors were, the lake was closed when that should, in our opinion, that should not have been the case. It stopped all swimming, it stopped any boating, and some people and some, you know, experts have suggested that boating activity could have actually helped. So that was the real unfortunate part. And you look at other states, like, for example, Greenwood Lake, they have a different, advisory warning type. And when it goes to the toxins, there's no swimming, there's no contact, there's nothing. But when it's in the cyanobacteria area, it's an advisory that they put out. So you had Greenwood Lake up in, you know, that borders both New York and New Jersey. You had Greenwood Lake, the New Jersey side was closed because they had the cyanobacteria, and the New York side was open.
So it's a matter of maybe our scientists or our DEP officials need to talk with the New York State DEP officials and say, okay, what are you seeing or understanding better than we are right now?
Could not agree more with that. And the one thing we've been trying to, put pressure on the DEP to do is to do something. New Jersey is not the first United States, first of all, New Jersey is not the first state, and the United States is not the first country to have deal with this, you know, cyanobacteria, the harmful algae blooms. The Ohio River was significantly affected. Lake Erie was significantly affected. And there's other countries, like, for example, Australia has had to deal with it. And there's been some successful processes that they've used to do it. So, you know, when we did meet with the DEP, they had asked for a listing of kind of projects that we think would work. And we asked them to do the same thing. And, you know, all four towns around the lake, you know, had done significant research and found many kinds of, about six or seven different things that we could do. So we just asked, let's try some of these. And at every turn we got, no, we don't want to do that. No, we don't want to do that. And so that's been the real frustrating part is, one, the standards, that are different around each state. Two, the fact that try something. Let's get this thing. And as I said, the advisories about the boating activity, many have suggested that the the agitation from the motors, the agitation, the aeration from the bubblers that the owners have around their docks would have been helpful in breaking up the, the algae bloom.
Oh, with State Senator Stephen Orho. He represents New Jersey's 24th District. Orho.SenateNJ.com is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. It's obvious that funding is needed for programs. That's something over in the Assembly side that Assemblywoman DeCroce is putting a bill forward. Right now, Lake Apacon receives about $500,000 in state funding every year.
Right.
She's looking to up that to $4 million because when you look at all that needs to be done now for catching up to a problem, never mind just bare minimum maintenance, $500,000 isn't going to get it done, obviously. But we saw in signed into law the so-called rain tax that allows municipalities to pay for stormwater management because only 45% of Lake Apacon is on any kind of sewer system.
Sewer, right.
So the rain tax would let municipalities pay for stormwater management by creating a utility, for lack of a better phrase, that would charge fees on properties based on the amount of runoff they generate. That's going to the people for money, but I think it was, what did I read about it here? Fred Lubnow, who is the Lake Apacon Commission's environmental consultant, he's got a plan that was introduced 12 years ago that I think he wants to bring back a watershed implementation plan, which actually will be eligible for state and federal funding and cost the residents next to nothing.
Well, that's a very good point, Chris. You have a lot in there. And quite frankly, the bill that Assemblyman Bedloe DeCroce put in, I also put in the Senate. So I'm the Senate sponsor. And Senator Bucco had been the other prime sponsor, God rest his soul. So the one that Bedloe DeCroce put in, I have in also for the Senate. Once we have the next quorum, it'll be available and considered "quote unquote" dropped in, but it's already it's already signed and it's already in the Office of Legislative Services for it to be implemented in the next quorum. But with respect to Fred, yes, that all went back to when the Lake Commission, the Apacon Lake Commission, which when it was formed, the primary responsibility was water quality management. And unfortunately, there was funding, but then when Governor Grevey came in, he cut the funding severely. And then when Governor Corzine came in, he eliminated the funding completely. So over the past couple of years, it had been mostly had gone to how to, weed control. But the Lake Apacon Commission did a real good job of, getting the GPS location on every single storm drain. They were doing all this storm drain management, and it was working, and it was working very well. So I talked to Fred yesterday. Yes, they're going to be presenting the updated plan to the commission. I know Senator Sweeney, myself, and Senator Panaccio asked to make sure that we're, and all the legislators, to be updated as to when that gets approved. And then we've already talked with our congressional delegation as well to help with any kind of federal funding, but plus any kind of state funding as well. I've always talked about some of the state funding that we get for this. This is a state-owned lake. Obviously, I've argued that this is open space, just like the purchase of land and maintenance. So this is extremely important. The interesting thing about everybody's talking about this, the rain tax and whatnot, the regulations never changed. The whole issue of that, the rain tax, was the ability to get around the 2% cap by creating another authority that it would have the ability to essentially to tax. So the regulations never changed. It was just, let's create another governmental body in order to be able to tax and get around the 2% property tax cap that has been in existence and has obviously been successful in trying to have towns talk about coordinated services, shared services, looking at programs that, you know, let's face it, governmental programs never go away once they start, but looking at programs that we need at one time that are no longer needed. So it had, you know, the whole idea that it got caught up in this whole thing that if we had, and unfortunately, that's the political aspect of a number of people, and, you know, within the administration has been said, see, if we had the stormwater management authority, this wouldn't happen. That's not, you know, the regulations, as I said, have not changed. And the water and Lake Impact Commission had been doing a great job. And it was the administrations that, particularly the McGreevy administration and the Corzine administration, that eliminated the funding for the largest state-owned lake.
And hopefully what we saw is a challenge, to say the least, this past summer will bring about a turn in that and bring about more solutions to not just repair what needs to be fixed, but also to get things to a point where funding is going to maintenance as opposed to catching up to a problem that has happened because of a lack of funding. Learn more about this, other important issues. You can visit the senator's website, oraho.senatenj.com. He represents New Jersey's 24th district in the State Senate of New Jersey. Senator Steve Oroho, thanks for being here today.
Chris, thank you very much. Have a great day.